Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, ClassTechTips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In today's bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. This month of February is full of interviews, and you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources we mention, and any of the free downloads that I love to share. It's also the best place to go to connect with the person we are talking to in this episode and all of our guests from February. This episode is sponsored by the Lenovo EDU community, which you can find at education.lenovo.com. This free platform lets you join groups to connect with education experts, to find videos and articles on educational content, including some exclusive blog posts I put together for them. Head over to education.lenovo.com to sign up for free. This week's episode is titled New Ways to Use Jamboard with Tori Marquez. Now, I don't know about you, but I spend plenty of time on social media. I love to connect with educators that I've met before in real life and connect with new people to share ideas and hear what they're excited about. So last month, today's guest and I connected on Twitter after I sent out a tweet about my blog post, 5 Quick Activities to Try with Jamboard Tomorrow. And when Tori told me she was using Jamboard in professional development settings in her district, I was so excited when she agreed to come on the podcast to share her favorite tips and tricks. Whether you are brand new to Jamboard or a total pro, I know you'll get a lot from this conversation. Let's dive in. Okay, well, Tori, I am just so excited that you're joining me here on the podcast today. We first connected through some Twitter posts and Twitter DMs and talking about some different things around Jamboard, which is our focus for today. But I'm hoping you can just start off for us telling listeners a little bit about your role in education and what does your day-to-day look like?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Tori Marquez, and I serve as the Director of High School Social Studies in Northside ISD in San Antonio, Texas. And so that's a very lengthy way to say that my job is to support teachers in helping them with student achievement and student engagement. For my day-to-day, it really varies on exactly what I do, but usually I meet and coordinate with teachers, whether they're one-on-one in small group PLCs or in large group settings. I also work with campus leadership and administration. And really the focus is just discussing and problem solving some curriculum and instructional needs and solutions. Some of the days I do facilitate professional development for teachers. And then other days I am working one-on-one with teachers in the classroom in an instructional coaching lens. But more recently than ever, due to the environment that we're in, my job is all about developing innovative courses for high school, as well as looking at innovative and engaging solutions and strategies to use in virtual learning.
Wonderful. I appreciate you sharing your background and what your role looks like. There's lots of folks who listen who are classroom teachers, but plenty who are in an instructional coaching role and advising their colleagues and supporting them along the way. And so I've talked a bit on the podcast and on the blog around Jamboard as a tool with using it with students, getting them to do things that are collaborative or independent. It's really a favorite tool. And I know today we're talking more about it from a professional standpoint, right? Of how educators may collaborate or share, you know, both virtually, of course, like you mentioned, our current environment and reality, as well as if you're kind of in a big room where everyone's got a device that they can use. But if someone hasn't heard of Jamboard before, you know, it's a favorite tool, but if someone hasn't used it before, how would you describe it to them if they haven't seen it in action?
So at first glance, when I even saw Jamboard, it just looks like a blank digital whiteboard. And most teachers in my district are all in virtual learning. And so they don't have access to just even the most basic whiteboard that they would use in a traditional face-to-face setting. So on the most basic level, when you get introduced to the tool, it just looks like a blank whiteboard that you could use. When you dive a little bit deeper into the tool, though, is that you realize that it can be a really great collaborative tool for students or staff, like you had mentioned, to connect and engage with each other in that virtual setting. And the favorite part of mine is that it's free and that it is a part of the Google Suite, which we use in our district. And for the most part, what I have found is that the learning curve isn't as steep, and so it's generally user-friendly.
Nice. Yeah. And I know when I'm recommending things to educators, a lot of those features are things I'm looking for too, right? Free, you can use it right away. It's Google friendly. It has a quicker learning curve than something that might have a lot of buttons, right? Some of the buttons I feel like are pretty intuitive, just sort of recognizable from other navigation, both in Google tools and in other spaces. So yeah, I love that description. And I feel kind of the same way when I stumbled across it. It just seemed like a place where maybe I could sketch something out or model something. And yeah, right, it does that. But there's a lot of different layers to it. And so I'm curious if you can share a little bit about how you have used Jamboard. I know we're looking at that kind of umbrella of, you know, professional development or professional learning setting. So really excited to hear about some of the ways you've used Jamboard.
Absolutely. Well, I have a colleague of mine, a staff member, who introduced me to Jamboard and thought it was a different alternative tool that we could try because it so seamlessly worked with all of our Google integration. And so I facilitate professional development and staff meetings quite regularly. And especially now in a virtual setting, I needed to have a tool that was relatively intuitive. And to your point, like we just mentioned, that was a relatively user-friendly to engage staff in the middle of a meeting or in a professional development session. So as I do Zooms or Google Meets, Jamboard is the tool that I use in the middle of a session to either check for understanding or receive feedback during that virtual session. And so when I first started using it, the first thing that I thought of is I was just going to use it as a parking lot. And so I introduced Jamboard as our link that over the course of a certain section of a professional development, teachers could post on through a sticky note on Jamboard and use it as a parking lot of clarifying questions that they needed. And then as the facilitator, I could go back in real time and keep an eye on that and see not only what questions were there, but then how I could answer them. Because I found that some staff participants, especially if we're using video conferencing, they might be less apprehensive, or they're more apprehensive to use the chat feature because of the public nature of it. So Jamboard provided a really great outlet for my adult learners. Over time, I kind of leveraged that idea and then started to begin to use it as an affinity chart so that I was receiving those parking lot questions or comments. And then as a facilitator, I could move each individual sticky note so that I could see common themes and challenges for my participants to really get a little bit more of a more engaging, more thoughtful presentation or meeting. So that was really meeting the needs of the people who I was presenting to. Most recently, my team and I have really tried to take it up a notch, and we're utilizing Jamboard in Zoom breakout rooms. And so what we do is we provide a particular part of the professional development, ask teachers to post a response in the Jamboard as they're in a breakout room. And the most recent one we used was like a four-corner activity where teachers got to do four different posts on a board. They are completing the task individually, but yet teachers were still in a breakout room, so they had that support. So they could ask technical questions about the actual tool, as well as reflective questions on the themes and comments that they were seeing from that Jamboard. And so my evolution of using it has really grown, but we really, really like to use it as a model of just checking for engagement and checking to make sure that my staff members are where I need them to be.
I love that, right? So the parking lot and having the kind of affinity chart where you're able to see some of those common themes. Just like you mentioned, I think one of the things I think about a lot when I'm running a webinar or a workshop, especially virtually, right, is that idea that someone could try that with their students. And so they could take that back. So just like you're checking for understanding or you're looking for common themes that are going to inform you on what your colleagues are going to need next time you come together, right? It's that same sort of formative assessment best practice. Right. So I love that. And you mentioned a Zoom breakout rooms, or of course it could be any Google Meet, right? Teams, yeah. Name it, right? Video conferencing, right? Whatever it might be. Video breakout rooms as using Jamboard as like their call to action, I guess, or where people would put things. And Dr. Desiree Alexander was on the podcast a few weeks ago, or I guess at the end of December. And we talked a little bit about that idea of like, you need to have something people will do when they go out into that breakout room.
Absolutely.
Right. And even just, you know, I'm sure you've had a similar experience that I've had where, you know, I'm trying my best to pay attention in a meeting, right? Or I'm really engaged in that discussion someone else is leading and I still need that reminder. Like, okay, wait, what are we talking about? Like, I heard you say the question, but then I got excited when I saw a colleague I hadn't seen in a while, like in that breakout room, like help me reset, let alone students, right? And I'm sure you find that with the high schoolers or the, you know, support that you're giving there too. And so all three of those are great activities for professional learning within Jamboard. And so if someone, you know, just wants to kind of try it out for the first time, you know, a quick way for them to get started. Is there one of those three that you would recommend to them?
It really depends on the participants that you have, but utilizing it as a parking lot is the most low risk, highest yield because you're introducing the tool as a starter. It's non-threatening. There's no real true check for understanding. And if there's any type of error, it's completely okay, right? And so I really felt that that gave my participants a little bit of confidence. We just wanted them to get one sticky note on with some sort of feedback so that I could celebrate it. But starting at a really basic level with the tool before I went really, really robust, right? And expecting teachers to really put some thought and practice into the tool. Well, I would think that that would be the most advantageous to start in the process.
I love that, right? The quick win, the nice success to build some, boost some confidence, right, in a new space or with a new tool. And so, you know, there may be some people listening that have, you know, dabbled in Jamboard a bit, right? They might have tried an activity or two. I know there's been some newer features like backgrounds and different things that have popped up, the different frames that you can use. If there are some power users of Jamboard listening out there, how can they take their use of Jamboard or some of the things that they've been playing around with, how can they take that to the next level?
Absolutely. So, you know, right now, what I'm seeing is we have so many teachers who are in the virtual environment and they're struggling to get students participating, whether it's collaboration or engagement within the content. And adults are not very much different. Running a professional development session and asking someone to keep their cameras on or to engage in the session, they're just like students. And so utilizing tools and trying to think about taking it to the next level is something that somebody has to prepare for to keep your participants on their toes. I would highly recommend that for a power user, you're absolutely right, using that background image and providing some sort of diagram in which kind of helps attune the particular participant to provide multiple prompts or multiple sticky notes or multiple text box will really help to get some true engagement on that Jamboard. But to your point you had mentioned previously, I think that for a particular power user, it's not just the tool itself, but what is the result of the tool for the learning. And so I have seen teachers, and we've used it with staff, where with whatever video conferencing tool you're using, providing the reflection questions that will happen as a result of the instructional tool first, having this participants either take a screenshot or quite literally getting their camera out on their phone, taking a picture of it, and then saying, you're going to participate in this Jamboard. Here's the task. You're going to be in a breakout room. And once you're done with the Jamboard, you're in your breakout room. Those questions that you took a picture of, that's what I would like for you to facilitate the conversation with next. It's a double-edged sword because suddenly the staff members that I have are impromptu required to participate, but then they also participate in a way that includes written form, speaking form, thinking form. And so for a power user, I would say just trying to incorporate all of our best teacher strategies together so that Jamboard is not just in isolation, but it's what are we doing with the learning as a result of that tool, that we could really help by putting a diagram or two on that particular Jamboard and then letting your students or staff add to it.
I love the idea of using diagrams like that. And it's so funny because when you were saying about, you know, snapping a picture, right, of the questions or what you might do, I just had this moment of remembering, and this is probably like pre us being used to taking pictures of everything that we come across all day long, right? But I remember just being in, you know, faculty meetings or professional development, again, like pre-iPhone, pre-iPad, but before all the stuff, and like wanting that clean copy that someone came in, right? Saying like, oh, I don't want to write on this because I want to photocopy it and use it with my kids, right? Almost like having that template, right? That sort of teacher feeling that we all like, you know, if I write on this, I can't use it. And so it's funny to think that someone could, right, just take a picture, make a copy and have their own template, take a screenshot, and then they kind of have that own, you know, they can use what you've modeled with them and then tweak it and use it with their students. So I think that what you're sharing with all of the modeling that you're doing and the best practices and thinking about, right, that why you're using something is just so powerful for folks that are even getting their wheels spinning on how it might look in their biology virtual classroom or how it might look in their novel study or literature circles. And so I'm curious, because maybe there's folks in your school community who have come back to you and shared something, or you've seen something, or it's kind of come up in conversations. What are some ways you've seen other educators really leverage this tool or some of the strategies behind it?
You know, one of the things that I thought about in PD was that checking for understanding. But the other side of the coin that I think is really relative right now is the promotion of connection over content and ensuring that we're doing everything we can so that our students can connect with each other, because we know that right now in a virtual setting, that may not be happening. And so I have seen a lot of educators intentionally using Jamboard as a collaborative tool to really help with either written or speaking socialization skills. And so what I mean is we have several teachers who will utilize a background image of like, how are you feeling today? And students can post a sticky note with their name corresponding to the facial expression. Or in a traditional classroom setting, we might do a four-square activity where kids have to physically get up and move to a corner of their room based on an interest or a post question. Well, we can do that on Jamboard and have each corner be relative to something else too. And so a lot of the teachers that I've been seeing, in addition to using content, are really using it at the beginning of a particular lesson or inquiry to really build those socialization and that connection that will help the kids to engage in the content and to keep them into virtual learning, which I think has been a really great intuitive way to use a tool that we didn't necessarily think of. And then they post that on their learning management system and keep it there. So even a kid who's asynchronous, who may not be engaging in that class at that moment, can still feel like they're actively a part of that class because they can see how their classmates have participated. And so, you know, teachers are getting really creative with how to utilize it for different things, for whether it be actual content related as an exit ticket, 3-2-1 sticky notes that you would post on there. But really, I think that using it for that peer-to-peer has been so powerful. And I love seeing all that different work that teachers are trying to do to really try to connect with kids.
And that's such a great point about the asynchronous or the self-paced connections too, right? You might have this Jamboard that you set up on a Monday and you just remind kids, right, if they're making their own schedule, especially at a high school level, right? And then maybe on Thursday, you do have a live meeting, right? You come together and you give some shout outs or you share, or you let, you know, students see, you know, what everyone else has contributed. And I really like the idea of kind of a low stakes in the sense of, how are you feeling today? What's your favorite thing? Like a would you rather or this or that. And then having kids, right, participate, become comfortable, learn a little bit about someone who they might not see, right, face to face ever, right, by the end of the school year, depending on, you know, everyone's situation. And so that, I think, too, from a, you know, a teacher, educator perspective, is a nice way to try out a tool that doesn't feel like it has that extra type of
you know, academic intimidation, right? That something's going to go wrong and it's going to ruin the lesson or whatever, right. Like might be that piece that like weighing on someone.
Absolutely. I completely agree. We told the teachers, don't grade it, just post it and let the kids engage in it. See what you can get. Let's see if we try to encourage participation. Keep it as a link on your learning management system. Touch base with it every once in a while, but create this virtual hallway space. So then that way kids can utilize it as an escape or even staff members as well. So it's an opportunity because teachers aren't really being able to engage in the conference room, the break room, the copier machine. And so we need to be really intentional on these places, as silly as it may sound, as a digital tool where we can post pictures now and background images and just really put sticky notes to reflect.
Well, I really appreciate all of these ideas for community building and formative assessment, for that professional development piece, which, you know, as someone who works with other educators, you know, I know that it's been huge for participation, but also, like you mentioned, just introducing something that is really ready to be used with students of all ages. I know I've used Jamboard remotely with elementary students this year too, right? So lots of applications for it. So appreciate all of those really actionable ideas and tips. And so where can listeners connect with you and learn more about your work? I know we first connected on Twitter. Is that the best place for people to follow along with you?
That is the best place. I love to connect and network and borrow ideas and see how everybody else is using different strategies and instructional tools in the classroom. So the best place that we can connect is Twitter. And my Twitter handle is at Tori R. Marquez, TORIERMARQUEZ.
Wonderful. I'll make sure to link that in the show notes so anyone who's listening will be able to find that. And thank you so much, Tori, for taking time today to chat with me.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
It was so wonderful having Tori on the podcast today, and I want to take some of her wonderful tips and wrap it up like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, open up Jamboard to get familiar with the tool. Next, choose an activity like a parking lot. Then invite students or colleagues into your Jamboard. Finally, try another strategy from this episode or share a Jamboard idea with your colleagues. Now, don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode. I've also included a link to Tori's Twitter account so you can connect with her too. You'll find a link to my original blog post about Jamboard and a bunch of extras on the special show notes page. You can find it by clicking underneath wherever the description is for this podcast episode, whether you're on Spotify or Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, or you can go straight to classtechtips.com/podcast, where episode 99, this one, will be waiting for you. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, the Lenovo EDU community. This free platform lets you connect with education experts and find videos and articles on educational content. You can sign up for free at education.lenovo.com, and you'll even find some exclusive blog posts I put together for them too. Thanks again for stopping by today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. Can I ask you for a big favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Or tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to this episode on your social media. By leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, just scroll to the bottom of the page and tap the Write a Review button to leave a sentence on why you like the podcast. It seems like kind of a silly thing, but it makes a big difference and makes it a lot easier for other people to find this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.